Hello, friends. Welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area, with over a quarter million listeners in over 90 countries, and I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. Today, we'll have a special Christmas show from my good friend Simon Parks, live from England from now till 3 p.m., and then from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, we'll have another Christmas show celebrating the life of work of Dr. Masaru Emoto with Michiko Hayashi, the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, followed by Tom Palladino, a famous scalar energy healer who's actually healed people with AIDS in India, followed by Billy Woodard and Zora from the Hollow Earth, and finally Jason Armstrong coming to us from live from Vancouver, Canada, on Channeling Adama from Telos and Mount Shasta on the coming beautiful new year. The coming year promises to be a year of many wonderful changes as the planet ascends into the fifth dimension. All of us chose to be here, and it's an exciting time to be alive. I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, especially Corey and Saul in Kirkland, Washington, for their beautiful support. And I especially want to thank them for their most generous contribution for a new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. The Hopis do not have a library, but we'll get one together by next year. Menoni Lombardi, also I'd like to thank for his wonderful support of the new Hopi Library. And like to thank my wonderful friends Marion Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, and Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who've supported the program and helped me raise consciousness. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. Any advertisers on the show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. We're having a rainstorm today. The rain has been coming down in buckets since last night. And for people who are driving around in this rain, please send them lots of love and light. And also for the homeless people out there, please send them lots of love and light, because they don't have a stable place to live. And I wouldn't want to be caught in this weather. It's cold outside and lots of rain. So I know people are getting wet. With that, I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website and provides wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who support my show, and my angelic and earthly family, and of course Eric at KKNW, whose help and support makes this program possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I want to thank everyone so much for their donations to the Hopi Indians, both for their library and also for clean water. Last year, we raised tens of thousands of dollars for clean water for the Hopi, and we're still fundraising for both the Hopi and Navajo. For only $125, a new clean water filter can be purchased for the Hopi or the Navajo, so they'll have clean water for decades without arsenic or radiation. It's tragic, but for the last 60 or 70 years, many Hopi and Navajo in Arizona have been dying from cancer and arsenic, but we can do something about it, and we are. So if you'd like to contribute, it's a tax-free donation, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Your contribution goes 100% to clean water for the Hopi and for the beautiful Navajo Indians in Arizona. I'd like to ask everyone to please say prayers for the fires in California and Australia. I actually have gotten several questions on the fires in Australia with a live update and what's happening in Australia, which I'll share with Simon here shortly. I wanted to tell you all of some wonderful things coming up. My next Galactic Conference will be on March 13th, 14th, and 15th, 2020. I hope you can all come. If you register before December 31st, you can save quite a bit on the registration from now through the end of the month. The entire conference is only $125 or $75 a day. But after December 31st, the cost will be $197 for the 3-day conference or $100 a day. You can register at galacticwisdomconference.com. We'll have Simon speaking, as well as James Redfield, the author, famous author of The Celestine Prophecy, as well as Alex Collier, the famous contactee from the Andromeda Galaxy, Mitch Kohayashi of the Moto Peace Project, and Tom Palladino, a famous scalar energy healer, who will be coming on during my second hour, and just in about an hour's time. Then twice next year, I'll be going back to Peru from January 23rd through February 7th, 2020, and again from May 17th to June 5th. Now, the interesting thing about Peru is that there's Machu Picchu. We'll be visiting Machu Picchu, and I've been told how to enter the Hollow Earth from Machu Picchu. So for those of you who'd like to come along on the trip in January and visit the Hollow Earth, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You have to be of high positive vibration and get pre-clearance, but I hope you can come. I also will be going back to Mount Shasta twice next year, from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd, 2020. Both trips have been actually filling up quite rapidly, even though that they are 6 and 8 months away. Many miracle healings occur in the mountain. One of the things that happened to me back in September of 2018 is that the Adama and the spirits at Mount Shasta restored my eyesight to perfect, crystal clear 2010 eyesight after having blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye. It was amazing. Many other miracle healings have also happened. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The cost is just $200 per person, which pays for some administrative costs, and it also includes free camping. Finally, my good friend Christine Light will be giving a 20% discount for all her harmonizers from now until Christmas on December 25th. I have a harmonizer myself, and it really helps neutralize dirty electricity and can help protect you from the new 5G cell towers. If you'd like, please visit her website at quickrestoreharmonizer.com. Finally, there's a new product out called the Liquid Gold product. It's an amazing product. I use it myself. Really helps with your health. If you'd like, please see their website at www.liquidgoldrx.com/TEDMAHR, T-E-D-M-A-H-R, or you can call 719-428-9746. And with that, I'd like to bring on my friend Simon from England, who's coming to us live. Simon, how are you doing? And Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you, Ted. Merry Christmas to you and the listeners.
Well, thanks. Thank you, Simon. It's been an amazing time, isn't it? Oh, my goodness, so much going on. And the post, I've got lots of questions which have built up in the last couple of weeks. So you also have some interesting posts, to say the least, on your website. The first one was Duke and Duchess to lose their titles. what more have you heard from that story, Simon?
It was interesting. Some city councils in Britain, mm-hmm. If you hit a certain number of signatures, you can have your topic debated in the city council, mm-hmm. and that's what happened. And we haven't had the result yet, but they were debating whether they had, they could strip the title away, because Brighton is in the county, the Shire of Sussex, and the title is Duke and Duchess of Sussex, so they have the right to take it away. But what's incredible is that you would never have had this 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the fact that people now are much more interested in a republic than they are in a monarchy. And I think that is a very, whatever happens, it's a warning bell for the monarchy in Great Britain.
Wow, that's fascinating. I know that from what I heard, Simon, years ago, there was a movement or some sort of, there was discussion in Australia about getting out of the Commonwealth and removing the Queen as the head of their government. I don't know too much about it, but I sort of remember. Do you remember that? That was some years ago.
Well, it was a similar movement that occurred in Canada. It's wherever mm-hmm. you have a large French-speaking group mm-hmm. Who don't align themselves with the British monarchy, then right. ideas about breaking free come from that part. Mm-hmm. I think the Australian one is something that happens every 10 or 15 years. It surfaces. They didn't manage to overturn it, and the Queen is still the head of state.
Sure.
But to have it sort of at home like this, it's quite a wake-up call.
My goodness. Well, I've been to Brighton before. It's a beautiful place. And thank you for sharing that. It's amazing. Of course, we didn't hear about it at all in our news, but it's...
Well, yes, it's not something that would maybe make it through unless they vote on it to do it. Yeah, I lived in Brighton from 1964 until 1979. So I know Brighton quite well.
Oh, it's a beautiful place. A lovely place. It's a great place. I went swimming there last June, and water was cold, but it was fun. It was fun. Yeah. Well, from your perspective across the pond, Simon, it must be interesting, to say the least, for you to watch the impeachment process here in the United States, about the House voted to impeach. I don't think it's going to go anywhere myself, but I'd love your opinion on it.
I think it gives President Trump the legitimate right to start using phrases such as anti-American, and you know that the Democrats have gone crazy. So it doesn't actually matter what your politics are. It doesn't matter which side of the fence you vote. The fact is now is a course has been set. Anybody who studies life on Capitol Hill knows that this is dead in the water. It's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
But very interestingly, the Democrats have said that they'll bring another one. And if that doesn't go anywhere, they'll bring another one. Now, the overall question is two very important points here. Is this just purely a cover for Hillary Clinton throwing her hat back into the ring?
Sure.
Or literally, is it their game plan? In other words, is this impeachment game all they've got, or is this thing hiding behind the scenes? So we know that the Senate will not pass this. We also know that the Senate will, as part of its hearing, call in maybe the Bidens, call in others to give testimony. But what do the Democrats do when the Senate doesn't take it any further? Do they then bring another one? Well, as somebody who's been in politics and as an elected representative, as a lawmaker myself some years ago, I don't see the end game plan for the Democrats. I don't see the end of it. It's either an incredibly desperate throw of the dice, or there's something they've got hidden up their sleeve. And that's it. It's amazing. I don't know where it's going to go.
I don't know if you'd heard this or not, but back when this was during the election back some years ago, when Trump was running for office, I think it was in the fall of 16, I guess it would have been, where Hillary Clinton was at a memorial for 9/11 victims in New York, and she stumbled. She started stumbling, and they rushed her to her van. And then it was either like a day later or sometime later, they brought out a new alleged Hillary Clinton, who was much younger, and everybody, my friends anyway, said that, is this a clone? And there's been the persistent rumor that she actually, the real Hillary Clinton, passed away back in the fall of, I think it was 16, during the election. They replaced her with a biological clone. I don't know if you've heard anything back over there, but we've heard it here persistently since the last couple of years.
Oh, yes, Ted. I remember her being put into an SUV or a larger vehicle and almost being thrown in like a rag doll. So, yeah, we're very familiar with that. The difficulty I had was that I wasn't prepared to accept it was a clone, but I was prepared to accept it was a body double.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. My friends remarked to me that the new Hillary Clinton, all she could say was hi, and she couldn't go beyond hi. And we were all speculating that the clone technology, they hadn't apparently they need 90 days to produce a clone. I know this sounds bizarre and out of this world, but that's what I'd heard. And this clone had to be rushed out of the laboratory quickly, and they hadn't had time to program her yet with anything more than just hi. That's all she could say is hi.
Right. Okay, Ted. What? Right. I would. I mean, yes, it's possible, and I'll talk a bit about that. But yeah. often, if a person who is playing a body double looks the part, their right. accent might not be right. So they may have come from a different state. And mm-hmm. if the body double wasn't expected to come out at that point, maybe right. the only thing that they could get the right accent with would be high. In terms of the clone, in clone technology,
right.
They run clones on a regular basis. Because mm-hmm. let's say, for instance, you have an auto crash and you get a scar on your left arm. Well, mm-hmm. all the previous clones are no longer viable because they don't have a scar. So you have to create another one. And also humans age. And so they regularly do these. So I would go for the of 48 hours rather than 90 days. I think that we'll be ready 48 hours to program and to teach. So I'm going to go for the body double, just like President Putin has three doubles. It's harder for a Westerner to detect the regionalization of a Russian accent, but not difficult for an American audience. So I think that's a little bit over speculation on the clone side.
Right, right. Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate okay. it. My goodness. Well, and then you mentioned in on your post about that Trump had said that the House Democrats were acting against the Constitution and that his family was suffering due to the impeachment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very important point, because if you are going into an election campaign, whilst politically it's perfectly acceptable to go for your political opponent, it's not acceptable to go for the First Lady and your family. Mm-hmm. And so I thought very cleverly he was quite rightly saying that this is not just impacting on me,
right.
It's impacting on the family. And the whole point is that if the impeachment is not a genuine movement, then it's wrong to put families through pressure. So I think it was important, I think, that he said that, because it showed the American electorate that it wasn't just this office of president. There is this family that's behind him. That's the first point. The second point is that if, it could be shown at a later date that this movement to remove the president was actually not based on law, then mm-hmm. it is anti-American and it's against the Constitution. Now, that takes it into a very difficult legal argument in terms of are those people seeking impeachment, are they acting in a way that is treasonous? Mm-hmm. Because it's perfectly acceptable to go down the road of impeachment if you have the evidence and if you can be reasonably expected to interpret that evidence in a set way. But if the evidence was falsified, or if an organization ensured that only one aspect of the evidence was presented, then that probably is treasonable. And so I think he's using these words deliberately, because I think he's setting the scene for the weeks and months ahead.
I see. Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, it's interesting. I really enjoy your interpretation, because you spot things that have a deeper meaning than just, you know, what is on the surface. So that's thank you for sharing that. You had another post on your website about Pope Francis agreeing to remove secrecy from priests who abuse children. That's an amazing first step. But as you noticed, it took 10 months for the Vatican to agree to it, because it came out in February of this year.
Yes, I think it took that long because it's one thing to have a good idea. And quite another thing to get it into, you know, law, as it were. The difficulty for the Pope was that the Cardinal in Australia, who has been found guilty of child molestation, is the highest ranking member of the Catholic Church to be indicted and found guilty in a court. The Cardinal is a very high position. In fact, it is the group of Cardinals who sit together and choose who the Pope is. Now, when that court case was taking place in Australia, I think that most people thought that the Pope would intervene to get that guy off the hook, but he didn't. And that sent alarm bells throughout the whole of the Vatican that the Pope was no longer prepared to, you know, get in and get people out of trouble. And the weight of the media and the reduction in the number of Catholics going to church has been profound. If I compare the Pope's recent visit to Ireland, which is almost the home of the Catholic faith, if I compare that with when he last went to Ireland, or the Pope went to Ireland, which was 10 years ago, there was almost a 30 or 40% reduction in the number of Catholics who turned out to greet the Pope. Now, that's very important. And I think what's happened is that the Vatican has been pushed and shoved towards a position that is a little bit more in line with what the public want. So I said on my post, don't hold your breath.
Sure.
But it is a sign that if the Catholic faith wishes to survive in the medium that we understand it, it's got to change. Got to change. And I think slowly but surely, for a positive way, we're beginning to see it change.
Yeah, and that's good. That's good. There is a man in Canada, I believe his last name is Arnett. I heard about him about a month ago, who's been exposing child abuse in Canada and the United States by organized religion. Have you heard of that gentleman,
Simon? Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
Okay.
Heard.
Yeah. Amazing man and very courageous too, I guess. Thanks for sharing that, Simon. Before we go further, there's lots of things to talk about, but I want to give you a few minutes to, I should have done this at the beginning of the hour, for you to talk about what you'd like to bring up today.
It was the impeachment, because it is the biggest thing. The difficulty, and what I wanted to say really was, it's only going to create more hardship between families who are split on political lines. Your friends, your workmates, all the people around you will have a different political view. It's so divisive. It's like religion. You either for it or against it. And it destroys families. It destroys friendships. Right. And it's really unfortunate that this has occurred. But people cannot sit on the fence. They have to make a choice. They have to make a decision. And unfortunately, we've got to wait until November, November the 3rd, I think, 2020, before some healing can come about. So whatever the result is, that should draw a line under it. So what I'm saying to people is, between now and the vast majority of 2020, it's going to be a very difficult time for Americans. And it's going to be quite unpleasant.
All right. Well, thanks, Simon, for sharing that. There's so many things the Congress could focus in on to help the United States and also the world as well. And I don't know. I kind of think this is a waste of time. If they've got solid evidence, that's one thing, but I don't think they do. We'll see what happens. The House has voted for impeachment now, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
If we look at the previous impeachments and you look at the groundswell of the need to impeach Clinton, and think about, you know, it's coming towards Nixon and the feeling, it cut across political lines in many cases. There was a real revulsion. But when I look at the vote, not a single Republican voted to impeach in the House, and two House Democrats voted with the Republicans. One of those Democrats is leaving and the other one's going to walk across and join the Republicans. Now, that's very interesting, because what that says is this is a political move. It's purely partisan. It's bipartisan. It's about politics. Right. Which means it doesn't carry the same weight as something that has everyone behind it. So this is why I said earlier to you, I don't know what the end game of the Democrats is, because it cannot achieve whatever they dreamt it up to achieve. And there is a slight possibility that Hillary Clinton might just throw a hat into the ring.
Okay, Simon. Well, thanks for sharing that. I really didn't know what to make of it. You know, like I said, we have a lot of problems in this country that need addressing, and it's too bad they're spending this much time on. But we'll see. If they have solid evidence, that's one thing. But I haven't seen it yet in our media.
Well, look at Great Britain. We've had our general election just a week ago. Mm-hmm. And the Prime Minister was returned with a much increased majority. Mm-hmm. And the British Prime Minister is a very good friend of President Trump. Mm-hmm. Now, why that's important, it's important for business. It's important mm-hmm. for trade. Because right. with the European Union kicked out, Great Britain can actually sit down with the United States and actually start doing what we did over 45 years ago, which mm-hmm. is have independent trade deals with basically our best friend in the world, which mm-hmm. is the United States, and as it mm-hmm. always should have been. So mm-hmm. I foresee an increase in the economy between Great Britain and the United States, tariff-free, no mm-hmm. tariffs. Mm-hmm. And again, President Trump, towards the election in the fall of next year, he'd be able to say, look at the extra business that he's brought on board. Now, not really him as such, but he will strike the deals. So it does seem odd that a president of the United States who has, in a very short period of time, reduced the unemployment, right. made people's living standards better, not right across the board, that would be impossible, but in many ways, would be attacked in this fashion for something which, frankly, is so minuscule, it's of no importance. It really sure. isn't. That's the sure. point. To me, it's not whether it's true or not, it's just, it's so minuscule, it's so small. I mean, you know, this is what America does. America does deals. America does business. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do, whether you're in the 7-Eleven store or whether you're in Capitol Hill. You do business. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen any evidence that showed me that President Trump put America second. Right. I've only ever seen him living, breathing the United States and the Constitution. And maybe that's what certain people don't like. Maybe that they can't, you know, get him to do other things. But sure. you're right, with the Congress focused almost exclusively on this waste of time, right. The domestic policy is just going down the pan. Sure. You know, right. all the issues, as you said, that they could address. Oh, and yeah. because President Trump is keen and his powers allow him to do with other countries. But mm-hmm. the internal stuff is all done by Congress and the Senate, and Congress is supposed to lead. Congress is supposed to champion the people and say, this is a big issue here. We've got to fight this one. Let's take this to the president. We've got this. Let's right. campaign on that. They're not right. doing that. They're just right. sitting around deciding how they can get rid of the president. So forget President Trump. The fact of the matter is that the Congress is letting down the United States citizens, regardless of what they voted, because right. when American people voted, they voted for a lawmaker who would defend them and fight for their rights. And mm-hmm. all I've seen, and I am in Great Britain, but all I've seen is the Democrats who control the House spending all their time seeing how they can win or score points over a president. Well, how does that help the ordinary man or woman in the United States? So yeah. it's ridiculous, Ted. Totally yeah. ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. There are so many issues that they could work on, but they're not. And it leaves the American people to basically fend for themselves. And you kind of wonder why even have these individuals in Congress if they aren't going to help the people they're supposed to serve.
When the Constitution was written, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody foresaw a gridlock. I mean, yes, you know, when the budget's held up, etc. But I don't think I can ever remember, since I became politically active and interested, I can't ever remember a case like this. It's unique.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, in perhaps this relates as well. I remember you had post on your website talking about the Pensacola Naval Air Station attack, as well as the one in Pearl Harbor. Are they related? And they are they related to the cabal or negative elements striking back at the Navy because they're supporting President Trump?
Well, there are so many subplots. We see a somebody sits down and reads a book, maybe to a group of school kids, and you read it on many different layers, and each child gets a message from that book. So when you put all those kids together, they all have a different take on it. And I think when we see these things unfolding, the simplistic amongst us will only see one message. But the reality is that there are several messages from several different, not organizations, but factions within organizations, organizations that have their own autonomy, they have their own values, and they have their own operatives. And someone gets angry on Monday and they do something, and then 5 days later, someone else gets angry. And that's the way it's been, but it's never surfaced because these people weren't ever challenged. They never felt the need to flex their muscles. And it's only particularly since President Trump took office and what he represents, which is an interest and strengthening of the Constitution and a turning of the systems back or the president's office back on certain elites that have enjoyed elite status for a very long time. So this toing and froing is entirely expected, and it will continue into 2020. And it's a tit for tat. The bad guys tend to kill people. The good guys tend to not kill people, but to take out facilities or, do electronic stuff.
Interesting. Interesting. I hope you don't mind me going off to this other subject, but is this related to the California fires too, as well? Do you see a negative hand in that as well? Because when I went to school at UC Berkeley in the 70s, annual fires like the ones in California just didn't exist. Sure, they had their fires every once in a while, but California just didn't have the extent of fires that they have. It's almost every year, and now it's spreading to Australia. And I do have some questions. Update on the Australian fires, which they say are quite bad down there. So.
California is the one state that is at war with certain other groups. And if it's not an individual's, it's the very fact of what California stands for. Silicon Valley, it's got the second largest strength opposed to the president. It's like a country on its own. So you don't just see this as a battle about a particular point. This is an ongoing difficulty between certain individuals on one side and certain on another. And also, interestingly, possibly some exotic machinery being used and something off planet being involved. So a very interesting mix. Now, quickly, I know you've got some updates for me. But the Australian situation has become so bad that the Australian public are now beginning to ask why their government is not taking a firmer hand on it. It's as if the Australian government is either content to let the fires burn in Australia or has been told to keep out of it. So there are people now who've had their homes burnt in Australia who are campaigning outside the Prime Minister's house. They tried to not storm his house, but they surrounded his house because, and I've been asking on my radio show, why isn't the Australian military involved? If I was Prime Minister of Australia, I'd have the military out helping the firefighters. Makes sense.
Well, this email is from Craig in Australia. He wrote me that he wanted to run this by you. The states of New Zealand, New South Wales, Victoria, and Queensland are in dire straits. In New South Wales, as of last Saturday, I guess it was like a few days ago, there were 125 fires. In the state of Victoria, 56 fires. Queensland, 70 fires. They've also had two record-breaking days of 42 degrees Celsius. Five firemen have been hospitalized. Two were induced comas due to the severity of the burns. And three others are in critical in ICU. There's no end in sight. There's a new record last Saturday, hot day of 45 degrees Celsius. Wow, that's hot. Much higher than predicted. They haven't been getting government help, some but not enough. And so they've formed their own fire brigades to go out and stop the fires. They say right in their email, they don't know what they're doing, but they've got to do something. And please help us and please send them in our prayers. I'd like to pray everyone to please meditate, pray, and send lots of love and light to the Australians. I know, and I'd also like to ask the Benevolent Galactic Alliance and the Pleiadians to help them as well. We did this last month with the California fires, and the Pleiadians, to their credit, stepped up to the plate, and they caused it to snow in Santa Barbara, California, where I have a friend there who's been reporting on the Pleiadian contacts. They actually made it snow there one morning, and they stopped all these fires were just completely stopped. So perhaps they can do that as well. They say that they do respect the prime directive. They don't interfere unless asked. So I'm asking now my listeners to please ask for their help. So,
okay, I think the question is the same: is why is the Australian government pretending that doesn't happen? I mean, either somebody's leaning on them, telling just to keep out of it, or they've got some involvement in it. But I've never accepted, either in the California fires or the Australian fires, I've never accepted it that it's a barbecue that's gone mad or school children. The number of fires and the inaccessible places that they are starting in, it just doesn't work for, you know, a walking party going along and dropping a cigarette. It doesn't work.
Before the California fires started, it was about 10 days, a week before the California fires started in the in California. Fox News in Los Angeles, I forget the channel, but I remember watching it on the internet, actually had a story about the new technology, allegedly new technology that the U.S. Air Force has to use high-tech laser weapons, which can cause fires and destroy the enemy, they said, without warning. From your experience, the cabal often reveals things beforehand, and then it's okay. I don't know whether this is related, but I did get reports last year when these California cities of Paradise and Malibu, California, a lot of the fires there seemed to be started by high-tech laser weapons fired from either shape-shifted reptilian craft or cabal-controlled U.S. Air Force planes. I never got a confirmation on it, but that's what I heard.
Well, I remember my mother, when, God bless her, before she was removed from the planet. One of the last documents that she was working on, we're talking about 1977 between 1977 and 1979. Mm-hmm. But the not a tank, but an armored personnel carrier, to have a laser beam, a laser weapon mounted on it. So we know from the secret work that my mother was doing back in the late 70s, that they had a tank, for want of a better word, with a laser beam. Now we know that not only are they helicopter born, but they are in firearms. So they're very, very portable. That's the technology. And it's not just we would call it a laser rifle, although there are other high energy weapon systems available, but the laser rifle is something we would understand. So they're incredibly portable, easy to take into difficult areas to reach, and they produce a very strong heat in a very small area. And it's also now possible to fire weapons from space, very targeted as well. So it would be virtually impossible from this position to actually say this is what's caused it. There's a whole range of it, but there is a very big, I don't like the word game because people have lost their lives, but there's a very big situation regarding California, and there's more than one faction involved.
Mm-hmm. There, when I was ill back in October, recuperating at a friend's place in the Mount Shasta area, I remember watching a YouTube channel on a fire that was being done at the Getty Museum in Los Angeles. And what was interesting, Simon, is that on the hillside around the Getty Museum, it actually showed someone using, it looked like a particle beam laser weapon, to start fires around the museum and attempt to burn it down. And I can find this, I can find the YouTube, I don't know if it's still on the web or not, but it was just, it was very interesting watching that, because it clearly showed that that was not a normal fire, that that was intentionally done, and they were starting fires all over the Getty. Fortunately, the museum did not burn, but everything around it did, and you could see the proof. And then the question I had after watching that, if I'm watching it, how come law enforcement isn't, if they're, if I'm watching it, law enforcement probably is watching it as well, and how come there, to my knowledge, had been, how come there wasn't any investigation of that? So thanks for bringing that up.
Well, it's so much cleaner and easier than a traditional flamethrower,
right?
Because it's these weapons are actually incredibly light, much lighter than you would imagine, and so law enforcement will do what it's told, of course.
Right. Well, I wanted to mention that, and I think there's a lot more going on that meets the eye to these fires. And if people see something, please have them contact me or Simon. And because I know we're both interested in the subject, Simon, we've gotten a whole bunch of questions which have piled up in the last couple of weeks. So
Go for it.
Miss Aziz, I hope that I'm pronouncing this right. It says, "Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and love from Germany." She's in Germany, and she said, she writes, "I generally receive many visions from the future in the dream state, and it's not often I remember them, but sometimes I receive a sudden surge of information from the dream state, including the waking time when I'm totally occupied with some 3D activity." I was wondering, she can't remember, but she tries to go back to the sleeping position, but it's difficult to do it. Has that happened to you before? And is there a way to remember your dreams?
Right. If we were to accept that a dream can either just be a genuine dream, and I sometimes, my dreams are always about cats. I know when it's just an ordinary dream because I'm chasing the cats. But if it's something a little bit different, then we have to ask ourselves whether it's a dream or whether it's the subconscious releasing real memory through a dream. Mm-hmm. What you can do is you can you go online, or you can go to a traditional book, and there are many ways of inducing a very calm state. I don't mean a meditation, but a very calm state that can allow a dream to come back through to you. Or you can look for triggers that might try to trigger that dream. But generally speaking, the dream will only come to you when your conscious mind wants it to. In other words, when your conscious mind is ready to accept it, it will come through. It's far easier to obtain past memories or to get a hypnotherapist to take you back to a certain time in this life, because that's a conscious happening to you. It's very hard to access dreams.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing that. This is a question I received some weeks ago from Jem in the UK. Let's see. She's got long questions, so I'm trying to boil it down to quick questions. You've talked in the past about the Earth transitioning from the third dimension to the fifth, going briefly through the fourth. If so many people are attached to the material physical elements of the third, how will they go to the fifth? Or she suspects that the majority of souls won't make the transition. Love your comments on that. Thanks so much for being an inspiring light worker.
Well, thank you to both those two questioners. But unfortunately, from my point of view, your second questioner has actually answered her own question. Mm-hmm. The reality is that we all have free will, and we all will make a choice. And there are a large number of people who are quite I say happy is not the right word, not even comfortable, but they are in a position that they feel that they don't have the strength to leave. I use this term often. There is no other game in town to them. And so though they won't make the transition, not this time around anyway. And it was never going to be everybody. It was about those people who at the right time, at the right place, made that choice. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not right or wrong, because the person's choice is right for them. Mm-hmm. It's disappointing for me if only 20% of the population make it across. All sure. I can say to you is that, you know, we've got a very difficult situation on this planet, but these difficult situations force people to make a choice. If everything was love and light, mm-hmm. and everything was plentiful, and you already mentioned about people who have to sleep out in the streets, right. If there was none of that, if everyone had enough food and water to drink, we wouldn't be tested. We wouldn't have to make a choice. Right. There would be no good and no evil, because everything would be good. So where's our journey? Where's our effort? What are we looking for? Where's our goal? And it's precisely because this world is so conflicted that we all came here. We all came here to look at this and decide whether A, we're happy to stay where we are, or B, we're going to do something about it and try and develop. And so, you know, don't worry about other people, just worry about yourself. And that's not service to self, it's about protecting yourself, because you cannot take responsibility for somebody who doesn't see what you see.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. I always respect other people's opinions, and even though I may disagree with them, I'm open to their point of view, because I don't have all the answers. But this is, we've got about 10 minutes, 9 minutes left now. This is an interesting question where I'll paraphrase it since it's a little long. When someone passes over, often a light will appear, and people are encouraged to go to the light. So they end up on the other side and see their long lost soul family, and then do a life review and then reincarnate. But is it better to go to the light, or is it better to just to be asked to be reconnected with Source or our original soul family and turn your back on the light? I think you've addressed that before, but thought I'd ask Sheeta.
I have, but it's such an important question that I'm not at all bothered or upset that I've been asked it again, because it's worth going over. Human creatures, just like about every other creature on this planet, not all of them, but majority of them, sleep at night time, and they're active during the day, because with those of us whose eyes are designed to work in the light, that's why we do. Now, those creatures that are designed to work in very low light levels, they'd be slightly different. But let's talk about humans. If we go back before the technology of modern times, we would sleep at night because we couldn't see to do anything, and we would be active during the day. So we are programmed. We are programmed. Our brains are programmed. Our cells are programmed to respond to the light, to be joyful, to be happy, to exult, and to be busy. So no coincidence then that when the physical body dies, then we are suddenly shown a light which we would programmed naturally to go towards. But unfortunately, in my opinion, that's a trap.
Okay.
The whole point is to take you up to what we call the holding area, where you may be 100 years, 10 years, 1,000 years, who knows, and then a electromagnetic wave is put through you to let you forget that whole lifetime, and then you are incarnated back on this planet. This is what we mean when we call Earth a prison planet, because the number of jailbreakers is very small. It is possible. And so people who want to get out of this prison have to say, I want to go back to Source. Or if you know your star family, you say Alex Collier, he might want to go back to the Andromedans. So that is the only way to fight it, is to be totally determined. The light is a trap.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Simon. Her last question is, will the event where humanity interacts with extraterrestrials occur in the next 10 years, or will it take another form? Will they just appear?
The event that people refer to is not just, unfortunately, for many people, the idea of the event is aliens showing up. The reality is that they've been showing up for generations. Mm-hmm. The real event is when Western governments actually decide that they are going to tell the truth. That's the event. The event is not, because if you put 50 spaceships of a mile across, right, over every town, think about the film Independence Day, and you, mm-hmm, put over every city for a day, and then you took them away again, life would just go back to normal on this planet, and people, sure, would shake their heads and say, I was having a hallucination. The only way that the vast majority of people on this planet will believe it is when the regular news reader and the newspapers and the internet from the official line, mm-hmm, give it you straight. And that's, mm-hmm, that will be the event.
Sure.
Now, the question is when within the next 10 years. I know this sounds a bit as if I'm running away from the question. I promise you I'm not.
Sure.
A great deal depends on who wins the presidential election in 2020.
Okay.
That's a real key point. I remember President Obama saying in the very first few days, I'm going to talk about the alien situation. I remember during the campaign between Hillary Clinton and Trump, mm-hmm, Hillary, mm-hmm, Clinton standing on the stump and saying, I'm going to look into this alien thing. I'm going to do all that. Now, both of those people had absolutely no intention of doing that. But, sure, the very fact they said it was because they know that the majority of the American electorate know something's not right, and they, sure, they want an answer. So any, sure, any president or potential president who starts talking about it has no intention of doing it. The man or woman who does it is the person that gets into office and then does it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Simon, we've got about 2 minutes left, and I apologize for not having time for the other questions, but we'll get to it next time. But I want to give you this time to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Sure, thanks. We're hoping to receive our first batch of the anti-5G shields, the sticks. I have been given one, which I've been trialing. These are coming from a new source. This is our second grade of them, if you like, our second stage. Mm-hmm. And once we're able to go live, then I'll advertise on the website and tell more people. But we have got our first batch in. The first ones have got St. George slaying the dragon on them, mm-hmm, and I thought that was rather appropriate. But, uh-huh, the second batch, which we'll receive in every batch afterwards, will have Connecting Consciousness logo. So my logo will be holographed onto these sticks. So I've got my fingers crossed. It should be good news.
Oh, wonderful. There was a book written by a fellow named Lynn Caston about the reptilian influence here around the world. And he's got an actual picture of a South Korean advertisement for 5G showing alligators or reptilians riding the shoulders of Korean people, dictating what they should do with their cell phones, watching over them, which I thought was hilarious. But, you know, I'll send it to you.
Thank you. I would be lovely.
It's quite funny. But during this holiday season, I want us to send lots of love and light to everyone around the world. It's an exciting time. And I think we're going to do it this time. We've got about 30 seconds left, but I think we're going to actually make it this time and ascend, Simon. I know we have a lot of challenges, but and I'm so glad for your work to help people out, too.
Thank you. Well, listen, Ted, it's a lot of love to you and to the audience. And remember that the American people and the British people celebrate Christmas almost identically. So, you know, there's a strong connection, and with the new Prime Minister in Great Britain, I would expect a strong business and trade relationships to improve between the US. So listen, a lovely time to everybody, and let's just hope that we get a few days rest.
Absolutely, Simon. Have a beautiful Christmas and a wonderful New Year. And please stay tuned, my friends, for the next event, for the next segment of our Christmas program, which will start in just about 5 minutes. So thanks so much, Simon, for coming on today. Really appreciate it.
God bless.
All right. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the hosts of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Time now for a quick look at our traffic on this rainy Friday afternoon. Southbound I-5 from North Gateway on down to about I-90 is slow for the Duwamish River curves. On down to about South 200th is slow. Heavy traffic south in State Route 18 of the Fife area. Northbound I-5 between Albro and I-90 is slow and scattered delays between 520 and Linwood. Heavy traffic between 526 and Marysville and 405 congestion southbound between Kirkland and Newcastle. Heavy traffic.